the long view in mind. Keep thinking it as cross-cultural mission. Don't compare it to your youth group. It's very, very different. So I think that would probably be keep the long view. Keep praying as well, because you never know. Young people do go from being interested to not interested, all the other way around. And keep asking them questions. That's the best way to get young people to open up about anything. Just have a load of questions that you want to get to the bottom of. And listen to them and remember what they've told you the previous week.
Welcome to Independence, the FIEC podcast, and we're on the road at Growing Young Disciples. You can probably hear the people who are growing young disciples in the background. We're here at Yarnfield Park. I'm here with Andy. Hello, Andy.
Hello.
And Antonia.
Hello.
Tell us who you are. Andy, you can start. Okay. Tell us who you are.
I'm Andy Mosser. I am the youth and community worker at ELT Baptist Church in East London.
Great. And Antonia.
I'm Antonia, you knew that already. And I'm the youth and children's worker at East London Tabernacle Baptist Church.
So you're both at East London Tabernacle Baptist Church in Mile End.
Yep.
So East London, as in East London Tabernacle. And tell us a little bit about the church and the area. Who wants to go? Andy, you go first.
He's been there the longest.
Yeah, how long have you been there?
I joined the church in 1994 as a member.
That's as old as me!
I came on the staff.
That is old, isn't it? 1994. Yeah.
And I did Cornhill with you in 2001.
You did, we met at Cornhill, that's right.
And in 2002, I started.
That's why we've got matching tops on.
I'm not included.
So I guess I've been youth worker there for 20 years now. The church is.
That is a whole other podcast. It's just talking about the benefit of long-term service in a place. But we won't go there right now. But okay. Maybe we will touch on that later.
And he's gone. Another one.
So 20 years in one place.
And the church is probably one of the bigger churches in Tower Hamlets, but it's not a massive church. We're about 160 to 180 people on a Sunday morning. The thing you would notice most if you came to ELT is it's really multicultural. I know you and I were talking about this yesterday, but it's one of the great delights about ELT. It's like there's just a 40 to 50 different nationalities of people in our congregation when we count it up, and that's fantastic.
Do you think we call it multicultural, multinational essentially, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
There's not lots of different cultures happening in church from the front.
No.
But lots of nationalities represented there from all over the place, really.
Yeah. And it's fantastic. And sometimes you talk to people here in other places and you hear that causes problems. I don't think it really does cause a lot of problems.
No.
We're quite a happy bunch of God's people together, which is great.
Yeah. And here's my confession. I really miss it.
You're missed as well.
Every church I'm in. Thank you. That's kind. I love every church I'm in, but I love being amongst lots of different nationalities at the tap, and I really, really miss that. And it's a joy, isn't it? What sort of area is it? Does that represent the area, Antonia?
No.
Okay.
So Tower Hamlets is the highest proportion of Muslims in the country, particularly Bengali Muslims, and the lowest proportion of Christians in the country. We're about 30% white, British or European, 30% Bengali Muslim, and then a mixture of everything else in the borough. So the fact that we have a really, really multinational, multicultural church is quite weird, because actually there's two main cultures in Tower Hamlets, and one of those cultures is not really represented at all. We have one Bengali family who are Christians, but that's four out of up to 180, which isn't loads.
And it's not even just Bengali, is it? It's a particular area. It's a lot of people from Sylhet. Yeah. Tell us a little bit about Sylhet. People won't have heard about Sylhet. Who wants to do that?
Now you're testing us. Sylhet is a very rural region of Bangladesh. So I guess a lot of the Bengali Sylheti families would be from the poorer areas of Bangladesh and are over here making ends meet. I mean, we have others too. Like, you can sometimes tell when you meet a Bengali family from Dhaka, the capital.
Yeah.
A bit more like a middle class Bengali, if you like.
Yeah.
And tell us about youth work in the church. So we're here at a youth workers conference.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess when lots of people think about youth work, they'll be thinking about, you know, a youth club they've run in the church or something like that, or maybe thinking about Sunday school and how they teach kids in the church. So there's a breadth of youth work going on at the TAB. And sorry, when we talk about the TAB, that's kind of what we colloquially call East London Tabernacle Baptist Church.
Those who are in the know call it the TAB.
Yeah, we're at the TAB. And local people call it that, by the way.
Yeah.
And I remember when we lived there, our next door neighbours, who never graced the door of the church, or very, very infrequently, I think, just knew it as a TAB. People locally know it as a TAB.
Yeah.
So, Andy, tell us just about the breadth of work that's going on in the church.
Okay, so from a youth worker's point of view, we run a Sunday night discipleship group for young people in the church and their friends, and that's probably fairly similar to what most churches would do. We teach the Bible, we have some activities, we spend time together. That's an encouraging piece of work. Had a good term last term. People bring in friends and things, so that's great. But I guess, again, like our church congregation, that doesn't really incorporate Muslim young people. Although last summer we had a barbecue, and some of our friends, some of our young people did bring their Muslim friends to a barbecue and a grill a question Q&A. But largely they don't come. So during the week we run other youth clubs, particularly to make contact with those young people.
Okay.
So on a Monday night I run a club. Well, it's not officially just for boys, but it is only boys that come. Because of the Muslim culture, boys and girls do things pretty separately. So this club has 10 or a dozen Bengali lads in it, and me and my colleague Amin run that, and we actually have a dad who comes along to that too, a Bengali dad. And so we run activities with them primarily. If we ran a Bible section to it, they wouldn't come. And we found that over the years, haven't we? We've invited them to our holiday clubs, which are based on Bible passages every day, and we've very rarely had a Muslim family come to that. Occasionally children will come, and normally if they've got really good friends with a Christian family that's invited them. But we'll take informal opportunities to share our faith with the young people there. Often at Christmas has been our highlights. We cook them a Christmas dinner, tell them about our culture of what we eat and what we do, but also share the good news of Jesus with them. And often
and
those
they
evenings.
They expect that. They do it every year. They're like, but when's the Christmas dinner? When are we going to do the talk?
Yeah. And it's great. And often those evenings, you cook, you feed them, you eat, and then you should be getting one of the washing up, but people are then sitting there asking you questions and it goes on half the night. So they're very exciting. So that's one club we run. We run another club, which is in partnership with our local RSL, a residential social landlord. They want to have the youth club on their estate.
So those that's not quite their vocabulary and language, tell us what that means, residential social landlord.
The people who run the local housing estate.
Right,
Eastern Homes, Tower Hamlets, whatever.
Yep.
So they want it to say there's a youth club for residents, for parents to send their children to. So they give the church some money, and the church puts some money in, and we run a youth club for them. That's got a really mixed group. Like you've worked in that group, haven't you?
Yeah, really mixed. So probably a third Muslim, and then I mean, it's technically for the residents of the estates, but then some of them bring their friends, so you end up getting like a few really working class kids, and then their other friends from school that end up coming who might or might not live nearby. So a real mixture of white, black, Bengali, Somali. So yeah, that's probably our most mixed group, isn't it, really, that kind of feels like it represents the breadth of the community a little bit more.
So you've essentially got, I hasten to call it secular youth group, because it's being run by Christians and by a church.
Yeah.
But essentially, youth work, which is making contact with the community that isn't sort of overtly Christian in the sense it's not doing a gospel message and things like that, and receiving funding from outside, is that right?
Some funding from outside, less
and in
than
the past,
we used to have.
Okay, so in the past you've had funding from outside as well.
Yeah. Funding is... it's an interesting one because it can have its drawbacks. Like, we used to have funding from BBC Children and Leave. I can mention these things publicly, can I? I expect so.
They publish lists, don't they, of who they can
exactly.
So I don't see there's a problem with that.
They used to fund the girls project. They haven't really talked about, but after school on Fridays, we run a club which is just for girls, because there was a point in our local community, in our youth work, where we discovered that we couldn't really run a mixed youth club anymore, and if we carried on with just boys, we'd never get to know the girls or share the good news with them. So we started a girls club that Antonio runs, and BBC Children Need funded that for a while. But when we wanted to change worker, they weren't happy for us to advertise for a Christian worker, so we said goodbye to that funding at that stage. But we have had some other funding since then which doesn't have those sort of strings attached. So Anderson Holmes, the local landlord, they funded as well. So we do have some outside funding. But always looking for more.
So just tell us the thinking about this so we can understand it. In terms of thinking holistically about the church and how it outreaches into the community, you're recognising actually, certainly in Tower Hamlets, with the kind of people we're trying to reach, we're a long way back. So we're trying to make contact, right? Trying to sort of just get relationships, get to know people. And hope and pray and trust that will give rise to opportunities. So actually, it doesn't necessarily matter in that sense that there's not a Bible study each week and whatever. That's the way in, is it, Antonio?
Yes.
It's okay to say yes, by the way.
It's fine. I mean, over the years, I have felt like, what am I doing? I'm just doing stuff with them. But actually in the last year, I've had more opportunities and deeper conversations than I have, I think. I think when you first start out doing this sort of thing, you've really got to be in it for the long haul. You've got to treat it a bit like you're a missionary on foreign soil and think, this is how I'm going to get to know people, how they're going to know I love them. They're going to make memories with me. I'm going to be part of their life. And now I'm in my fifth year of being ELT and running this club. There are a group of girls who have gone all the way through the club. They've known me for 5 years. They want to meet with me for coffee and talk about their life with me now. And so then I have opportunities to carry on speaking the gospel into their life, into adulthood.
Yeah.
I can suggest reading the Bible with them now without having to ask their parents' permission, which is great. No one's taken me up on that yet, but we pray that that'll change. So it's a real long-term work. So you keep loving them, caring for them in their day-to-day, week-to-week stresses of school and bullying and phone drama and drama with their mum and dad. And you keep loving them and caring for them and telling them the gospel when you can, and Christmas, Easter. I actually do a few more bits now to keep it a bit more regular and to kind of get it on the menu, on topic, because sometimes you can find yourself a bit like, well, you know, we've gone 4 weeks and we've not chatted about anything, and I sometimes beat myself up for that, if I'm totally honest. But yeah, over the long term you can see the benefits of it, because they know you're a Christian. They you're probably, if they're a Muslim, they're only Christian they know. So it's they won't really come into contact with another Christian at school, because there are so few
and inquisitive
Christian young people.
About Christians,
to an extent. Yeah, I think it depends on their age and their stage and their family life.
Yeah.
So some of them are talking about Christian things, but I'm a Muslim. Why are you talking to me about that?
Yeah.
they don't care. But then there might be other things. So we asked a group of our girls, like, what would you like to hear our opinion on? And they were like, love and marriage. We were like, okay. Well, if this is the way in to talk about the gospel, and actually you find, as you're looking at these things, there are loads of ways to talk about Christ and his church and the gospel when you're talking to them about your view of marriage, because the Muslim girls are coming from a culture where they're thinking about the possibility of arranged marriages, whether they're going to have a loved marriage or a fixed marriage, and who they're allowed to marry within their own community, within their own religion, and how that compares with what the boys are allowed to do.
Yeah.
So there are all sorts of big conversations that can come out of that.
I've got daughters, and you have too, Andy. I'm all in favour of arranged marriages. I think
you married yours young, Adrian.
I did. Well, you see, if you're going to arrange it, you may as well arrange it young. That's my motto. So long haul matters in that kind of setting, Andy. So, you know, your 20 years is not just an accident, is it?
No,
I haven't not been able to find another house to move in or another job.
I love it anyway, but it is deliberate. It has massive advantages. I'm sure there are some pros to moving on as well and freshening things up, but like, for instance, I'm in a Bible study pretty regular every fortnight with a Muslim guy at the moment who probably I took was in youth club probably 10 years ago or 12 years ago or something, and we have a really good relationship now, and he seems to be really interested. He still believes in Islam.
This isn't obviously a hard and fast rule, but to get to the stage where you're able to have a one-to-one Bible study with someone, you've basically got 10 years of investment behind that.
Not always.
Yeah,
like, I actually started with him probably 8 years ago, when that fell apart and he didn't carry on, and he's come back. But yes, it does. I mean, I think in Muslim communities particularly, it takes a long time to build up trust and opportunities. But I think just in working class communities, it does a bit anyway as well. Like, it takes a while for people to think the people in that building are not just weird and odd and different, and they care about us and they're willing to listen to you, really.
And Tony, how... schools work, so I'm just sort of grabbing around for words there. My vocabulary has disappeared. Lots of schools locally, and actually one of the things that struck us when we moved into the East End of London is how dense everything is. I remember actually when we moved into East London, I said to Celia, my wife, I'm just going to look on Google and see where the nearest dentist is. And we were used to jumping in the car instead of having to drive 25 minutes to get to the nearest dentist. So I typed in dentist and our postcode, and suddenly there were like 10 dentists all within walking distance of where we were, because everything's so dense.
So schools, it's the most densely populated borough in London.
It is, and presumably almost in the country, I should think.
I think it is in the country from the census data this year.
So lots of schools. Big schools.
Yeah, particularly the secondary schools are really big.
How do schools work in an area which is very mixed? Do they tend to segregate? So my daughter was at Swanley, so you'll know where Swanley is. I think she was one of two white girls in her year.
Yes, that's probably still typical.
She really loved, and she really misses, but she really missed when we moved to Market Harbour. So is there an opportunity for schools work? If so, what is it?
Yes, but it's difficult. I mean, for an example, this Friday we are starting back an arts and crafts club in an all-girls school, Central Foundation School, which is a 50-minute walk from church. It's a pretty big school, and it's nearly all entirely Muslim. There'll be some white girls there, but I think particularly it attracts Muslims, listening girls, because their parents want them to be. They did. She's actually just retired. I know. It's a real shame. We don't know if there's a Christian teacher there at the moment. So she has retired. We've just kind of got get ourselves back into that school. And that's where you're going to meet a lot of the Muslim girls. They're not going to talk to you if you go up to them on the street. They're not going to have... Sure. In that school, we don't know, from surveying other local youth workers, we don't know if there's any Christian teachers, Christian TAs, or Christian students in that school for that matter. So the only way any girls from that school are going to meet a Christian, because lots of them aren't allowed to go to after-school clubs, particularly if they're not in school, because they will be looking after their brothers or just expected to be at home, the only way they're going to meet a Christian is if a Christian goes into the school.
Right. And what does school's work look like in that context? What are you doing there?
So what I'm doing with them is basically trying to make contact with them. So I'm going in on Friday and we're just doing a simple craft together to try and get to know them, and then invite them back to the girls after school club that we do on a Friday. So that's very basic. What we'd love to do is go in and run a sort of Explore the Bible Club with an organisation like Crossteach, but it's much harder for the RE departments to get on board. Quite a few Christian young people in the borough have tried to start up little Christian groups in their schools recently, and they haven't necessarily been actually allowed to do that in official capacities, because they're a minority, which doesn't really make sense to me. But yeah, so in some ways we're just getting a foot in the door by going in and running a lunch club. And actually one school during COVID was like, yeah, come and run a one for the boys and run one for games, and we could have filled up their lunch clubs, but we decided for our own capacity issues we wouldn't. But schools are normally quite keen to have Christians or anyone go in and run something for them and pay for you to do it as well.
And Andy, so your microphone is louder, I've noticed, than everyone else's, so that's all good. That background noise,
it was all you go.
It's all your fault. Is it just two of you or anybody else on the team?
But we have plenty of, well, some volunteers. We have another guy called Amin who works 2 days a week for us. He helps me run the Monday club, and he runs the Tuesday night club on the estate, and he also volunteers in his own time to help us with our Sunday night youth group as well, and gets involved with the school's work when that's going on. We do some great things actually at Christmas and Easter with Crossteach. Do Christmas experiences and Easter experiences, and often then you'll get whole year groups of students come in and you can really openly share the gospel with them, which are some of our most exciting opportunities in school, really, aren't they? Because it's like the school want you to teach them what the Bible says about Christmas and Easter.
Yeah.
So that's great.
So it seems to me that not only do you have to be in it for the long term to build relationships, to get to know people, but actually the church has got to be committed to it for the long term, haven't they? I mean, they've employed you for all this time.
Yeah,
it's a mystery to you. It's a mystery to me. No, of course it's not. The church have employed you and actually reasonably heavily resourced for the size of church. So it does require resource, doesn't it? But it does require long-term thinking. You can't just think this is a 3-year project, 3 years investment, we'll be up and kicking and everything will be fantastic.
We'd give up if it was just 3 years. Because you'd think, I've shared the gospel with them every Christmas and every Easter, so that's what, 6 times. And then you might go through and count the amount of gospel conversations you've had and thought, they're not really that hungry for it. Like, I'm looking at my girls' club at the moment thinking, they don't really want to talk about spiritual stuff. But I have to pray and hope that they will be at some point, and that might take years, especially because a lot of them are young. It's when they get to like 15, 16, 17, 18 when you start having the real deep conversations.
You mentioned earlier in the conversation, but it's like a missionary outlook. It's like a cross-cultural missionary situation. So I know at one point our church had to face, we'd been offered to run a youth club on a Friday night, but in conjunction with this other local organisation, which was Bengali-led and therefore Muslim-led, but it wasn't a Muslim organisation. But I remember having a discussion with the church members who were worried about it, thinking, shall we do this or not? And it was like, well, if we were in Bangladesh planting a church, would you get your youth worker to go and work in one of their local youth clubs to get to meet young people? And we all thought, well, yeah, we would do that. And a lot of our work is a bit like that. It's like, well, how are we going to get to know people? How are we going to win their trust? How are we then going to get opportunities to share the gospel?
Presumably also thinking about it as kind of cross-cultural missionary work is helpful because you need support doing it. Mm-hmm. It must be easy to get discouraged
Yes.
And weary, isn't it? You know, you kind of doing the same thing over and over again, and you say, you know, limited number of conversations that arise, it's easy to lose heart. So you actually need people behind you, don't you? You need people praying, you need that kind of support network. Is that an important part of kind of the way things are set up and structured?
Very much so. I think ELT, we've been really blessed. Like, as you say, we've been doing it quite a while, and the church has been very supportive. And for instance, when we've had funding drop, then the church has happily picked it up and said, well, we think this is important. We don't want this girls' club to stop.
Yeah,
and there are not just the elders, but people within the congregation, don't they, start a sale to get some money or say to you, we can't possibly let this thing stop.
Yeah.
But also people praying for us, hearing reports back in prayer meetings and that, supporting us, really important.
Mm. Yeah. Okay. And what about training for this kind of work? What sort of...
We're laughing because we're going, what training?
What training?
I mean, throw you in and you get on with it.
Well, that's my next 20-year project to design something.
Is it? Because it seems to me there's a different set of skills required here. Some overlap. But so here we are at a conference, and we're talking, you know, some of the seminars here about how do you teach, you know, apocalyptic literature to children. Yeah, really helpful, really important. But actually, that's not where you are. you're thinking more... On the whole, in these outreach community groups, you're thinking about, you know, how do we make contact? How do we start a conversation? How do we behave in culturally appropriate ways?
Yeah.
And it is that cross-cultural mission work. So is the training on ground for this kind of work, or is this you just really have
can
to
you tell
suck
me anyone else that's doing work like this and see if they've got any training for
well,
us?
Well, I'm sure
to
our
do.
Churches are.
I guess
I just wonder if we don't really talk about it very much, do we?
I've got a slightly different route into it, I guess, because I was a secular youth worker for a while.
Right.
So I do have the equivalent of a PGCE, but in youth and community work, which I don't think I refer to much in my day-to-day job, but there is an art, you know, of doing youth work in inner-city communities, which...
I've seen you eat a flower at the front of church. Did they teach you that?
No.
Do you not remember that?
Yes, I do remember
I've
that.
I've seen that.
Yeah, my children remember that as well. So that's obviously... I can't remember the point it was making, but the illustration stuck in the mind.
You saw it. It's a resurrection. They saw it.
Oh,
it's a witness.
Yes, that's right. Thank you. I'm glad you remember that.
I ate a rose, he arose. Okay, there you go.
There we go, yeah. So you haven't got a PGCE equivalent.
But that doesn't... I guess that doesn't train you for that, but I suppose, like Amin, our part-time worker, he's just done a level 3 MVQ qualification in youth work, which is secular youth work, but it, I suppose that's some sort of training, which isn't the same as what we're doing here, which is about how we handle the Bible and how we teach the Bible. You kind of need both, I think, in a way. Like, how do you engage young people? How do you do things that are good for them educationally, socially, that their parents would think, oh, it's good they go to that club because they're getting X, Y, and Z out of it. But at the same time, we're using it as a platform and a base to really love them and share the gospel with them.
And the community outreach work you're doing is not the only work you're doing.
No.
You're working
no.
with the Christian kids in church and those that, you know, come from Christian families. And so there is, you know, you are teaching the Bible and you want to do that. And that's the end point you want to get to, like your Bible study.
Definitely, yeah.
With this lad that you're meeting with, that's the point you want to get to. So there's it's not that that's not useful.
No. And one of the encouragements from the last term is that three young people from our Marland Youth Club and now coming to our Sunday night discipleship group, and one of them is doing a one-to-one Bible study with you. So there is a bit of a feed-in, I guess, for Muslim young people, there's less of a feed-in.
None of those are Muslim kids. They're all white, atheist, kind of working-class background kids. So it's easier for them to engage with a youth group, and we can invite them to that, but we wouldn't, I mean, our Muslim young people wouldn't do that, wouldn't be allowed.
Yeah, okay. So let me just paint a situation for you, Antonia. I've got a young woman who's, you know, fresh-faced and enthusiastic, wants to come and work in a church in exactly that kind of setting. You know, she's you 5 years ago. What would you say to her about this kind of work? What does she need to hear at the beginning of it?
Oh, wow, that's a very big question. But basically, what would I say to myself 5 years ago?
Well, that's a bit tacky saying that, so I didn't want to say that. I sort of imagined someone who was... Yeah, okay, what would you say to yourself?
Gosh, I really don't know if I've got an answer to that question. You've got the wrong person to interview, Adrian.
What would Andy Mossop say to you 5 years ago? What did he say to you 5 years ago?
I was thinking about training. Like the biggest thing about training, I've learned everything from Andy, really. I had someone to basically go, am I doing everything right? And Andy would go, yeah, you're doing fine. Just keep plodding on. And I think probably
what made you think you were doing things wrong? What sorts of things made you think, oh, am I doing this right?
I think just you get to an end of a term and you're looking back and thinking, was that worth it? Was me giving up, you know, 2 hours on a Friday night and teaching kids how to cook and bake and teaching them new games, like, was it worth it? What came out of it? And only after 5 years can I see, oh yeah, this one girl who was really struggling with mental health and her own health, and over a 5 year period she came to me multiple times and I was able to talk with her, sometimes share the gospel with her. She now values that as a real friendship. Yeah, sure. And wants to carry. So I think actually a lot of it would be you won't always feel like every week is a win. So with a youth group, you can go back and be like, well, every week's a win because we told them that we yeah, opened yeah, the Bible. Yes. The spirit's at work.
So you've sown the seed and therefore you think you've done what you were called to do.
You can just go, well, up to God now. I think it feels a lot more when you're starting from way, way back. I think I felt, and I still do feel a lot of pressure every week to say, oh, why didn't I move that conversation, or why was I distracted with that young person, why wasn't I talking to that person who I know has got that issue. I think a lot of it would be have the long view. Keep the long view in mind, and I think particularly keep thinking it as cross-cultural mission. Don't compare it to your youth group, it's very, very different. So I think that would probably be keep the long view, keep praying as well, because you never know, young people do go from being interested to not interested all the other way around. And keep asking them questions. That's the best way to get young people to open up about anything. Just have a load of questions that you want to get to the bottom of. And listen to them and remember what they've told you the previous week. I mean, we try and write those sorts of things down, and then you can go into the week. I'm so forgetful. So if I don't look at what they talked to me about last week, I'm going to forget that they told me they were bullied.
Really?
I mean,
I find that so hard to believe.
No, I'm terrible.
Andy, we're slightly drawing to a close. So let's just broaden this out, because people will say, well, you know, East London, that's a unique situation, the makeup of people, you know, there's a higher concentration of Bengali Muslims there than anywhere else in the country. You won't find anywhere else like Mile End. And there's a truth in that, of course. But actually, all churches are trying to reach out into their community and reach people who are a distance from the gospel. That distance manifests itself in different ways, doesn't it? So the divide between Islam and Christianity is very great in some ways. In other ways, it's not so great, but it's very great. So what lessons are there just for a church that's in leafy Market Harbour, let's say, very white, sort of mixed in class, but sort of, you know, been gentrified, up-and-coming sort of place? We still ought to be thinking about community outreach, shouldn't we, in terms of youth work? Well, what are some of the transferable lessons, do you think?
It's interesting. I definitely think there are transferable things. I suppose I wasn't thinking of Leafy Market Harbour. Like, I think the whole Mes McConnell kind of movement and book and stuff is like, well, they're really transferable for reaching working class communities. Like, when I look around this conference, for instance, it seems very white and middle class, and you think we really need to...
Yeah, just have a look there. You can see over my shoulder. You can't see anybody over my shoulder.
The church needs to get beyond being white and middle class in this country.
Yeah, that's right.
But even then, I suppose the lessons we're teasing out are that young people don't always want to come straight away to listen to your Bible teaching.
Yeah.
They might want to find out a bit about you first, or have a way in, an entry point. So I guess that's what our youth clubs are. They're a way in to a relationship, and that can be a way into a conversation, and that can be a way into an invitation to think about things more, ask questions, look at the Bible together.
So, I mean, in a way, it's kind of Rico Tice's back of the stands stuff.
Yeah, I guess so.
You know, that actually in that evangelistic strategy when Christianity School was first published, that there are events where you're just making contact with people.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And I think that the challenge there was that in Christianity Explored, it was, you know, here's an event that you could do that would just make contact with people, with the idea that you would do another event that would bring people nearer the front of the stands. And I think what we're basically talking about is a strategy, which is back of the stands.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah.
Where you're saying, actually, there is merit in putting things on, which are right at the back. You're making contact with people who wouldn't otherwise have contact with church, with a view to, in the future, drawing them closer in and having opportunities. But actually, it's not just, I'm going to put on an event for young people in my community. And actually, I need to invest long-term in relationships in young people in my community. Is that a fair assessment, Antonia?
Yeah.
Okay, that's a good answer.
I agree too.
Yes.
I agree.
I agree. I agree with Nick. Listen, thank you very much for being with us. Really helpful. And I guess if people want to find out a bit more about the church, they can go and look on the church website. And go and visit, couldn't they?
Come and see us.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you really want to move to East London and help us out, we'd more than need more workers
East
for the
London.
Harvest Fields.
We love it, East London. All my grandparents came from East End, East London, so I love it.
Come
and join
the team, even better.
Yep. So this has been Independent CFIC Podcast. Thank you. I never introduced myself.
Oh yeah, who are you?
I'm Adrian Reynolds.
I have a rather grand title, Head of National Ministries. It basically means I press buttons here, try and make things work. So thank you so much for joining us. If you like the podcast, please do rate and review it. That's a real help to us and to you. And we'll see you soon. Thank you very much.
Thank you.